third. Okay. Good morning. Let me be personal just for a moment before we begin to celebrate what a special day it is in behalf of our seniors today. But Lord willing, after services this evening or tomorrow, Joan and I will be leaving for a 21-day trip, and we're going to be away from you for a while, and we are going to miss you tremendously. And we look forward to being back with you, but I don't want anything to happen to you while we're away. So just wanted you to know, if you think we're missing in action, we do plan, the Lord willing, to be back as soon as we can. We do congratulate not only our graduates of yesterday, but also, as has been mentioned, our graduates of tomorrow evening. Those are always extremely impressive and special ceremonies. And not the least of which is the ceremony that will be happening as a part of our fellowship meal immediately after we dismiss this service. The tributes that are made, the comments that are written and expressed, to the graduates from parents and family is very moving, very touching. And I hope that everyone is planning to be a part of that. As a basis for our lesson today, and going back to Deuteronomy, which means the telling of the second law, or the telling of the law for the second time. That is to say, before Moses was to leave the children of Israel once more, in these 34 chapters, he is reminding them of all the Lord has commanded them, of all the testimonies, of all the statutes, of all the promises. But also he has said over and over again, remember what the Lord has done for you. Remember all the good things that the Lord has given to you. And that is really the idea that I'd like for our 10 graduates to think about today, but also for each of us to think about as well, because it applies. It is true. For wherever we are, the Lord has been merciful, the Lord has been gracious, the Lord has been so good. And I cannot think of a more appropriate hymn before our lesson than the hymn Paradise Valley, which is one of our favorites. When you think of the Lord's intention for the Israelites to remember not only his relationship with them, but what he had done. In the chapter, or a couple of chapters before chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, he comes to the close of chapter 6, and he says, there will be time when your sons ask you, why do we do these things? Why do we keep these commandments? Why do we remember these statutes? Why do we memorize these testimonies? Why do we observe certain days? And he says, it is then that you will remind them of what it was like for you to be in Egyptian slavery and how hard Pharaoh was on you and what God did in bringing you out of that captivity. And even though you have been in the wilderness for these 40 years in order to test you and to humble you, you're always to remember what God has done for you and what he promises to do for you as they were preparing to enter the promised land. In that passage at the end of chapter 6, he gives three reasons why that we're to remember. He says, for our good and for our righteousness and for our survival as a people. That's specifically applied to the people of Israel, but spiritually it applies to us as spiritual Israel, the Lord's church. I want us to think today, as we look again at this passage and others, how good God has been and how our response should be, especially for this beautiful group of youth that we see to my right, your left, down front, and the hopes and dreams that not only they have, mom and dad has, but that we have for them as well. Based upon what Moses says in Deuteronomy and what is taught in other passages, I'd like for us to think, first of all, to be encouraged to be grateful. I suppose that a person could be successful in life without being a person of gratitude, but he cannot be, or she cannot be, the complete success that a grateful heart can be. I don't know how many times in the New Testament that we're reminded to be thankful, but it would be hard for it to parallel the number of times in the Old Testament when especially God, through his various spokesmen, Moses and those that would come after him, says, remember and be thankful, be grateful. I don't know of anyone who has come to the end of life and said, you know, I have been too grateful for all the things that I've had to enjoy. I remember sitting by the bedside of one of my beloved uncles as he was coming near the end of his way, and he was fighting tremendously a painful malignancy. And as he summarized his life, dying at the age of 74, he looked back on it all and he said, it has been a great 74 years. There was a man who was in the point of suffering and looking back upon all that God had given him, and his life had not been easy, and there had been a lot of disappointments, but there had been too many joys, too many victories, and he was so grateful. I've never forgotten that. Blessed is the person who can look back regardless of what has happened. I think about our graduates today, and I think about all the tests, and I think about all the anxiety in the midst of all the video games, and I think about all of the practices and all the things that they have gone through, and I would assume that they've looked back upon it all and said, it has been a great time. At least I hope that's the case. I hope that is what your experience has been. But I also hope that'll be the experience for the way that we live our lives. If we live in the Lord and for the Lord, it is guaranteed that we'll be a people that will have much to give gratitude for no matter what happens. The psalmist said, come and hear all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for me. I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I love hearing people's stories about that. I like hearing people say, let me tell you a blessing that God has given me, especially at a time when I thought it was the most terrible thing that could have happened. Let me tell you what's happened as a result of that. I love hearing those stories because it's just, again, a reminder that God, you see, by definition, 1 John 4 and verse 8, is love. That doesn't mean that he has love. It means he is love. And so what is going to come from him are the benefits of a loving God. I want our graduates today to celebrate mom and dad, grandparents, and if you have great-grandparents. The focus is going to be on you, but you should not forget what they have done every day, every night, as they got you up, got you ready, as they put you to bed, as they've done everything for you. I want you to think about your friends who have made this experience what it has been. You've been a good friend, and that's why you have good friends. And so to celebrate the friends that God has given you. And then there's the promise of the future, a future that is promised with opportunity. That is to say, if the Lord continues to tarry, if he does not return, but if we will walk in the light as he is in the light, what a fabulous future that there is for us to anticipate. You see, those of us who are older, who are sitting here, who are identifying, even if it's been 50 years or more, identifying with what it was like for our graduation and remembering how filled with excitement we were to move on to the next stage of our life, we can remember all the ways in which we have been blessed since that day. And we pray that for our graduates. But be a graduate who is grateful. Secondly, be a graduate who's joyful. I could have said be happy, you know, and remind you of Bobby McFerrin. If I'd said Bobby McFerrin, our graduates wouldn't know who in the world I'm talking about. But some of us remember the 80s song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. I love that. But there's a difference in happiness and joy. And when Solomon came to the end of his experience in Ecclesiastes and talked about fearing God and keeping his commandments, he was talking about this is the whole of a person's life to really find joy and purpose and meaning in life. Happiness means that things are going our way, but joy means there is a contentment in my heart and in my soul and in my mind and in my life, regardless of what has gone wrong. I still can see the bigger picture. I still know that there is a God in heaven. I still know that there is a place for me being prepared for him if it doesn't work out on my timetable here. Duana and I, maybe some of you others as well, have a young lady who has just learned at the age of 19 that she has stage 4 lymphoma Hodgkin's, or Hodgkin's lymphoma. Sarah Beth Kiesler, I ask that you remember Sarah Beth in your prayer. She is frightened. She's down here at Bethel Springs, and I promised her that we will be praying for her continually. But you know, that is an example, regardless of how that may turn out, of things not always being on our timetable. And yet we can be a people who are filled with joy, proclaim the works of God, and ponder what he has done, rejoice in him, Psalm 64, 9 and 10. And then the reminder of all the spiritual blessings that we have as Paul opens the book of Ephesians in verse 3 of that first chapter and says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus our Lord. And goes on then for several verses, listing one thing after another. We need to rejoice that we've been forgiven of all of our sins. To my knowledge, our graduating seniors have been baptized into Christ and have been added to the family of God. What a tremendous reason to rejoice today. That is the greater reason to rejoice than graduating from high school or graduating from university, is the fact that we've been forgiven of our sins, that we've been given the opportunity to begin again, again and again, that we've been added to the body of Christ, the family of God, the church for which Jesus died, the church of the New Testament. We can rejoice that we have been called to be people who are supposed to serve God by demonstrating service to each other. That's how we prove that we really love him and that we serve him, that we care so much, not merely about our own concerns, but so much about the concerns of those all around us. In fact, the entire world and parts of the world that will not have the opportunity to see or to meet, but yet we pray for people in difficult situations. Rejoice, be joyful. And then thirdly, above all, to be faithful. That was God's concern as Moses was bringing the Israelites to the Jordan River. East of the Jordan, before crossing the Jordan River into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of Canaan, that had been promised since the days of Abraham, and finally was about to be enjoyed. God's concern was, you're going to be in lands that you had nothing really to do with securing. God's going to provide it. You're going to be living in houses you did not build, and you're going to be drinking from wells you did not dig. You're going to have prosperity over and over and over again. And I'm concerned that you might not be faithful. It is absolutely startling, heartbreaking. In fact, I want to spend some lessons in the future dealing with the reality of it, examining reasons why, and what it is that the church can do as best we can tell from not only the study of Scripture, but from also our understanding. And that is the alarming statistics of those who leave us, that is, leave the Lord, when they leave high school, when they leave home. You're talking about parents' nightmares. There's a nightmare that, if anything, physically should happen to our children, obviously. But there's the nightmare even greater of what if our children are not in the Lord. Anything could happen to them in this life, in this world, really, although we don't want anything to happen to them, but anything could happen to them as long as they are in the Lord. And so warning after warning after warning, encouragement after encouragement after encouragement, God gives the Israelites. And then he gives to us, because he doesn't want us to make the same mistake that an entire nation made. They do not have the relationship with God that God wanted. Those who come to the Lord in faith in penitence of every sin, in confession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, in baptism into Christ for the washing away of all sins, and then in faithfulness. It is one thing to know about the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. It's another thing to be obedient to it. It's one thing to be obedient to it in becoming a Christian. It's another thing to be obedient to it as a Christian. And so be faithful. As Paul encouraged Timothy to encourage those that he was ministering, do good, be rich in good works, be generous, be ready to share, storing up the treasure of a good foundation for the future. Paul did not envision 10 graduating seniors. He envisioned everyone who is in the family of God, especially then and ever how much he could look forward into the future. But God has used that for all of these times, all these generations, all these centuries, to say, this is my will for you, for me to bless you all your life and to save you by giving you eternal life. There are going to be times when you're tempted, and that's not news to you. You've been tempted all through your life. But 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us that God provides a way of escape with every temptation that comes along. And remember, the temptation does not come from him. He allows it, but it does not come from him. It comes from Satan, who is our enemy, not our friend. There are going to be times where you're tempted to blame God for when things go wrong. A lot of people do. Job did not. And those who are people of the faith and who are faithful to him may wonder, they may question, but they don't put the blame on God. They know the will of God well enough to understand that we live in a world where anything can happen. In a world where there is all kinds of evil and the accumulation of evil is eventually that there's going to be sickness and disease, there's going to be death and dying, and there are going to be those who take life from others, and all kinds of bad things, horrible things can happen, but God cries every time because he's love. And that's why we have the promise of Romans 8:28, that as long as we stay with him, he can make it work out. Even that for our good. And then we pray for your prosperity. We do not pray for adversity, we pray for prosperity. But Paul again warns, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded or conceited or self-centered and all of these kinds of things. People who get drawn away from the Lord, drown in that which the world promises, but really entraps to the loss of a soul. There was a young man by the name of Harold Walters who was a young minister and at the age of 23 wrote what for him was the mandate by which he wanted to live. Now, 23 is a little bit away from 18, but not a whole lot. So Harold Walters wrote, I would be true, for there are those who trust me. I would be pure, for there are those who care. I would be strong, for there is much to suffer. I would be brave, for there is much to dare. I would be friend of all, the foe, the friendless. I would be giving and forget the gift. I would be humble, for I know my weakness. I would look up and laugh and love and lift. I would be faithful through each passing moment. I would be constantly in touch with God. I would be strong to follow where he leads me. I would have faith to keep the path Jesus trod. Walter lived up to those words. He would later decide, as a young man from New England, to travel to Pakistan and become a missionary. But at the age of 35, he contracted a very serious flu epidemic that took his life at 35. But up until that time, he lived by these words that he wrote at age 23. That seems incredible, doesn't it, to have that kind of depth and maturity at 23? But then to live by it is a whole other matter. We close with a statement from the life, the great life of the prophet Samuel, the judge Samuel, the one who preceded the kings of Israel, and it broke his heart that the people could not be content with God's plan for getting his message to the people, being a priest of God, and so forth. And as he comes to the end of his life, the verse before this one that's on the screen says, "Far be it from me that I would sin against God by failing to pray for you." But then that prayer is this: "Only fear the Lord, serve him in truth with all of your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you." I ask our seniors to do that today in the context of being grateful, joyful, and faithful. But I encourage all of us to take the message to heart. And regardless where we are in our stage in life, we may be senior saints. And even then, we need to be grateful, we need to be joyful, and we need to be faithful. We sing our song of encouragement today to encourage anyone who needs to come publicly. And as we do that, we also sing to encourage all of us privately that we will indeed redeem the time because the days are evil, and make use of every day of opportunity that we have to be of service to the God who by nature is love. If you need to be baptized, all the arrangements are made for you. If you need to be restored, all the arrangements have been made for you. A wonderful group of people will pray with you and for you, whatever your needs are, as we stand and as we sing.